We're turning to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Exodus chapter 13, commencing at verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had strictly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. And God will bless this reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious, eternal God, we thank thee for the reading of Scripture and for this passage before us. Lord, as we have turned into a new year, we are reminded that we are journeying just like the children of Israel. We thank thee for the leading of the Lord. We thank thee that day and night thy hand is upon us. We bless thee, our Father, that our God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and he leads his children in the light. And we thank the Lord that in the darkness, when we are fearful, the fire of God is around about us, and the glory is in the midst. And gracious Father, help us to take in thy word and go forward in the strength of thy truth as we move on, knowing that our God never faileth and that he's with us every step of the way. Bless us as we meditate and preach thy truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was President Dwight Eisenhower who said these words on his inaugural address on the 20th of January 1953, when he was first elected President of the United States of America. He said, "History does not long entrust the care of freedom to the weak or the timid." History doesn't long entrust the care of freedom to the weak or to the timid. As the man who helped the Allied forces to victory in World War II, General Eisenhower knew a great deal about the cost of victory, as well as the heavy burden of freedom that always follows that victory. The British novelist Charles Kingsley rightly said there are two freedoms. First of all, there is the false freedom, where a man is free to do what he likes. And sometimes we find people choosing that false freedom so that they can do what they want to do, enjoy what they want to enjoy, and go the way that they want to go. There is a false freedom. And then there is the true freedom, where a man is free to do what is right and what he ought to do. There's a lot of truth in that. And this year, we all have choices to make, but may we never choose foolishly. May we never make foolish choices, but may we always do what is right and the thing that we ought to do. May the Lord set that before us. There are these two freedoms throughout Israel's history. The nation struggled with both of these freedoms, just as God's people struggle with these freedoms today. We've known people who have chosen the false freedom, and we've known people, thankfully, who have chosen the true freedom to do what is right. It's a mark of spiritual growth and spiritual grace and spiritual maturity when we learn that freedom is a tool that we build with. We build our lives in the freedom of the gospel, in the freedom that Christ gives us, in the freedom of the Word of God, knowing that by the Word we're guided and directed and guarded to do what's right and to do what we ought to do. That freedom involves in accepting responsibility. Responsibility to believe God's word, to trust God's word, to do God's word and will, a responsibility to please Him so that He might be pleased with our lives as He directs us step by step. Israel's Exodus experience taught them that their future success and their future prosperity lay in fulfilling certain obligations, in fulfilling important responsibilities. And in chapters 13, 14, and 15 of Exodus, there were three responsibilities laid before them. There was the responsibility of following the Lord in chapter 13, and especially in the verses we read just now. In chapter 14, there was the responsibility laid upon them of trusting in the Lord, by faith, taking Him at His word. And in chapter 15, there was the responsibility upon God's people to praise the Lord. So there are three things there. There's following the Lord, there's trusting the Lord, and there's praising the Lord. And during 2015, if God spares us, may God give all of us the grace and the urge and the joy of following the Lord, of trusting the Lord, and of praising the Lord. And I believe with these three things within us, ingrained within, we'll have victory and we'll enjoy the Lord. You'll enjoy salvation. We'll enjoy serving Him. We'll enjoy living for Him. Instead of it being a drudgery, it'll be a delight just to serve the Lord. So in Exodus chapter 13, and in these verses we read, we have our responsibility of following the Lord. Israel's exodus from Egypt wasn't the end of their experience with God. It was only the beginning, the start, the starting place. It was for them a new beginning. This year offers all of us a new beginning, a new start. Maybe some of you need a new start. You know the failures of your past Christian experience. You know how you've let God down. You know the backslidings and the coldnesses of your heart. Thank God there is place for a new beginning, a new start, a start to follow the Lord. Will you begin following the Lord today? Maybe you've never been saved. And all these years you have appreciated the Word of God. You've appreciated the stand that the Lord's people have taken against sin and against wrong. And yet you've never started to follow the Lord. What better time than at the beginning of a new year, not to make a new year resolution, but to surrender your heart to the Lord. Give him your life. Invite him to come in and start following him. Start at the cross. Begin at Calvary. Thank God at Calvary's cross is where we begin, when we come as a sinner to Christ. You come there today and commence following the Lord. It may have taken just one night to take Israel out of Egypt. And as we read Exodus, that's what we find. It took just one night to take Israel out of Egypt. But 40 years it takes to take Egypt out of Israel. And when we think of our own salvation, we're brought out of darkness instantly. Salvation is in a moment of time. We're brought out of darkness and sin and the Egypt of this world. And yet it takes a lifetime of following the Lord, of trusting the Lord, and of praising the Lord to take the world out of us. And we need sanctified every day, set apart from worldliness and sin and the things which beset us. And that will only happen, like Israel, as we follow the Lord and trust him and praise him for his grace and for his goodness. If Israel obeyed God's will, God would bring them into the promised land, and he would give them their inheritance. And if only we, the redeemed of the Lord, would trust him, if only we would follow him, if only we would obey his will in all things, God would give us our inheritance, and we would enjoy it, and we would build upon it, and we would benefit much from it. 40 years later, after this incident here in Exodus, Moses would remind a new generation of Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. He would remind them by telling them, "He, the Lord, brought thee out of Egypt." The Lord brought you out of Egypt to bring thee in and to give thee the land for an inheritance. You see, he's reminding them a great truth of a great truth, a great truth of the gospel, a great truth of grace. You see, the Lord brings us out of sin to bring us in to our inheritance in Christ. Yes, we're saved out of, but we're also brought in. Never forget that. We're saved out of our sin to be brought into Christ and to live for him and to enjoy the benefits of grace and salvation all the days that we live. And that's following the Lord. That's what Israel was to do. And that's what we're to do. That's what God wants us to do. And the same thing, as we've said here about Israel, can be said of the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. God brought us out of bondage that he might bring us into blessing. Are you in blessing today? If you're not, don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your family. Don't blame the church. Don't blame others. Blame yourself. That responsibility lies upon you, and it's between you and your God. And how many people, when things go wrong and they backslide and become discontent with God and their portion, my, you hear all sorts of things being said and they blame other people. And the sin lies right in here. Right in here in the breast of that same person, in the very heart. And my friend, that's where it lies, in you and in me, in the heart. God has brought us out of bondage to bring us into blessing. Are you enjoying the blessing of God today? Are you living for the glory of Christ? A.W. Tozer used to remind his people by saying that we are saved to as well as from. It was a phrase he often used. We're saved to as well as saved from. We're saved from sin, and we're saved to glorify God. And the person who trusts Jesus Christ is born again into the family of God. Born again to be God's child. But that's just the beginning of an exciting new experience and of an exciting new adventure that should lead us to growth in grace and to conquest over the enemy and to possession of our possessions in Christ. God liberates us and then he leads us through the varied experiences of life. Some of those varied experiences are joyous and some are not. There are joyful experiences and there are times of hardship when difficulty happens to be our lot. But through them all, God leads his children by the various experiences of life, and he leads us a day at a time. A day at a time. So that we might get to know him better and claim by faith all that our God wants us to have and to enjoy. At the same time, we come to know ourselves better as well when we take it a day at a time. We discover our strengths and we discover our weaknesses. We have our joys and we have our sorrows, and we grow in our understanding of God's will, and we grow in our trust of God's promises. And furthermore, we grow in likeness to our blessed Savior, becoming more and more like Him. Is the likeness of Christ radiating from you? Are you enjoying God's salvation, blessed with daily growth, increasing in knowledge of Him and serving Him? God plans the route for His people, and He plans the route for you this coming year. Just like He planned the route for Israel as they left the land of Egypt. God planned it all out. Nothing takes God by surprise. You look at verses 17 and 18 of the chapter, and it makes it plain. And nothing takes God by surprise, for in His providence, He plans the best way for His people to take. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't leave it to chance, nor does He leave it to you or me. In His love, in His goodness, He plans the best way for you. We may not always understand it that way. We may not see it that way. We may not see it. God chooses the path, but we might not agree with it. And sometimes we kick against it, and we do so to our cost. But His way is always the right way, and it's always the best way. We may confidently say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Is that how you've been led during 2014? Is that how you want to be led in 2015? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Not sinfulness. Not worldliness. Not my own notions. But righteousness. Holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's God's will for us this year. That's God's way for us this year. We may confidently say, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 23. Two psalms later, Psalm 25, the psalmist prays humbly, Lord, show me Thy ways. Show me Thy ways. Teach me Thy paths. Isn't that a lovely prayer? Isn't it the right prayer? Isn't it the prayer for you and for me at the start of this year? And then he goes on to say, lead me in Thy truth and teach me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And I believe that if we start this year on this note, we will enjoy the Lord fully. And we'll know His blessing. It's the answer to all the wrong thoughts that are in our minds, and those harsh things that people say the one to the other. Here's the answer. If there had been a military strategist in Israel that night that God delivered them out of Egypt. That military strategist, or strategists in the plural, would have disagreed with God's evacuation plan. They would have disagreed with it. They would have disagreed with the route that God had lined up for Israel. They would have said, it's too long. We'll take the short route. That's what these verses are about. It's too long. We'll take the short route. Israel's immediate destination was Mount Sinai. That's where they were heading for it, first of all. But why take 2.5 million people, approximately? Why take 2.5 million people the long way instead of using the shorter and apparently easier route? Why? The answer is because there were Egyptian military posts along the shorter route, and the soldiers stationed there would have challenged the Jews and fought with them. And the Jews would have been tempted, as the Bible says in these verses, to have gone back to Egypt. God knew they weren't ready for this hardship just yet. God knew that they weren't prepared to stand up to the Philistines and to the Egyptians. And God was gently guarding them, gently guiding them, gently planning for them, and leading them in his love. While some general or other may have stood up and asserted his own authority, yet nevertheless, isn't God's way always the best? Maybe yours is the long road, and it has been the long road during this past year. And there has been apparently no shortcut for you to get over your difficulty or to see your problem ironed out. It may be a long road, but your destination is Mount Sinai. That's where Moses met the Lord. And that's where the people waited at the foot of the mount for the Lord's word. And praise God, there is a meeting with God ahead. Praise God, there is a word from the Lord ahead, even this year. As we keep on following the Lord and trusting the Lord and praising the Lord, God wants us to trust him all the days of our lives. Having entered into this new year of 2015. None of us know exactly what lies ahead for us as individuals, as families, as a church, even for our province or our nation. We don't know what lies ahead, but there is one thing that is needful, and that is the need for divine guidance and the need for divine help and the need for a sense of God's presence with us. Sadly, with few exceptions, this divine guidance is seldom sought by so many people. Nations don't seek divine guidance. By and large, politicians don't seek divine guidance. During the Iraqi war and crisis in financial terms in recent British history, the former Prime Minister says, we don't need days of prayer. We do not play God. Well, was the words of Tony Blair. Our nation and its leaders do not seek the Lord. They don't seek his guidance. There are many churches who don't seek God's guidance. They play the game of apostasy, of the denial of the Word of God. They introduce rules and regulations and laws, and they adopt practices into their churches which are unscriptural. They have not sought the guidance of the Lord. And while the apostasy of Anglicanism is deepening all the while, and other denominations too, yet this past year saw another step by the appointment of women bishops. Women ministers are wrong to start with. But what about the sin of the appointment of women bishops? The apostasy is marching on. No guidance being sought. And because of that, God is being ignored. Then sin is rampaging its way, both in church and in state. And how we need the guidance of the Lord. There's a great need for this divine guidance. And what we're saying this morning should cause all of us to ask for it and to seek it, and we can find it. And one of those places where we can find it is right here in Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, that was the shortcut. But the shortcut was a dangerous way. How many use shortcuts today? Shortcuts? Shortcuts to blessing by introducing into the worship of God things which are unscriptural. Oh yes, it might excite the imagination. It may arouse arouse various people, the emotions. But God's not pleased with shortcuts and introductions and innovations in his church and in the service of the worship of God. Look what it says. For God said, lest peradventure, it may well be, he says, the people repent when they see war. They're not strong enough yet for that. And they return to Egypt. How many have gone back into the world who profess the Lord? How many during last year have gone back? Sadly. How many will go back this year? I trust it'll not be you. You pray for this guidance. Ask the Lord to help you. But it says, God led the people about. That word about, we might say around about. Around about. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness and the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. God led them by the long way and not by the shorter route as they would have wanted to go. The short way would have led to disaster, and they would not have reached the promised land. God guides, doesn't he? And God's guidance does not always seem to be the most direct route. Sometimes we have to wait upon the Lord. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 40 and cried, I waited for the Lord my God. And he says, at length he heard my cry. If you and I were saying that today, we would say, I cried to God, I prayed to the Lord, and at last he heard me. That's how we would put it. At length, the psalmist says, he heard me after a long time as I patiently waited. Sometimes we have to wait upon the Lord, for God's ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts, but both his thoughts and his ways are higher than our own. Had these people attempted to go through the territory of the Philistines, they would have been butchered, I believe. They would have been walking into disaster. And many's a time, when we look back over the year and the years, weren't there instances when we would have taken a certain route? We would have done a certain thing, but we were hindered. And thank God we were, because it would have led to disaster, brought us into defeat. God makes no mistakes. He is miles ahead of all of us. He has purposes ahead which we cannot see. And the longer way is often the better way. God's never in a hurry. He knew their greatest need was to be disciplined, to be organized, and to be equipped. And God wants us to be a disciplined people, organized not by our own ingenuity, but by the Word of God, and equipped with the equipment of the Almighty. He wants this because to become a proper following people of the Lord, we needed to fight his battles. There are times in life when the wilderness is the best place for us. We mightn't think that. That's not something the flesh would agree with. But there are occasions and periods in life when the wilderness, in the plan of God, is the right place for us, so that we might learn through the hardships, we might learn through the difficulties, and that it might produce spiritual character within us and impart knowledge of God in us, so much so that the shorter way couldn't provide for us. Lessons to be learned the long way that the short way couldn't provide. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. God saved them from themselves. He prevented them from taking the wrong way. And in life, shut doors are often as much divine guidance as open doors are. For God leads every step. We learn from these verses that God's way is the surest of all ways. The long way is the right way. And there is often guidance in that way by delay. We're being guided according to the plans and purposes of the Almighty, walking with our God day by day, just as Israel, as they passed out of Egypt. The psalmist in Psalm 107, and in the verse 7, and we were singing that psalm, it speaks of Israel's history, and it says, and he, the Lord, led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. That's God's will for us this year, that we might be led forth by the right way, so that we may go to a city that is inhabited, a city of habitation, the city of God. Maybe some of us will reach that city this year. We're not sure. We don't know. Maybe we'll have a wee while longer to wait. There are those in that city today who arrived there last year, whom we didn't expect. and none of us know what the future holds. I wonder, are you bound for the city of God? Are you being led on the right way? Is God your guide? If not, be challenged from the word today and seek the Lord and trust him as your Savior.